order. The first item on the agenda is to amend approve the minutes from 9/4/19, monthly workshop meeting from 9/11/19, town board meeting. We have a motion to accept. We have a second. We have a second. Do we have any questions or comments? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All against? Motion carries. Next item is amended or approve the supervisor's monthly report, town clerk's monthly report, building and zoning monthly report, justice court monthly report, Arkville and Hawkinsville monthly water reports for 8/2019, and Arkville and Hawkinsville quarterly reports for 7/1/19 through 9/30/19. You have all of those? Any questions? Can I get a motion?
So moved.
A motion to accept. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
You have a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All against? Motion carried. Number four, accept reject bid from Catskill Solar and Wire Nuts Electric for roof-mounted solar photovoltaic on salt shed roof. So, what we have, the situation, we discussed this briefly last week during the workshop. We had set up an RFP, and this was the only company that actually met all of the parameters. They came down, they did the walkthrough on site, and they submitted a bid on time. After we received this, within time we received another bid, but they had not walked through the site, and then we had a third contractor call and ask them, bless you, if they could submit a bid on the day we were opening. Technically, for RFP, it did say no. There's been some questions back and forth if NYSERDA would accept it. Essentially, NYSERDA, we've been told, would accept it as long as we did put it out the right way, they'd accept what the town does. I had a conversation today with Jim Ellis, who's just done one of these in his town, and he actually does some work through Delhi College, where the students actually erect these for municipalities. They save a little bit more money. And I was explaining to him what we had in the size system we have, and he told me that we're right there. And then I mentioned to him, I said, you know, we had a couple people do it, and he's like, yeah, I got to tell you, there's only a couple good ones in the whole county. And I said, really, who are they? And this was the first one he named off, and then the other one was a company from the north that's working in Delaware County. So I'm not really sure that if we were to take this thing and reject it and then make everyone rebid this again to get prices, that we would be getting a much better deal to begin with. It would definitely hold this up a little bit, and it would drag this out. But that's essentially up to the board. So here's where our options are right now. We've opened this bid up. This is solid. There's nothing wrong with it. It's valid. We can accept it, and we can move on. Option two, we can say no and reject this bid and literally rebid and go through the entire process again in hopes that we will get another alternate bid to this that may be better. But again, I want to be clear. I just did some checking on this, and I was told that these were some of the higher quality solar company there is in Delaware County. And when it comes to solar panels, the secret is making sure you get a good product that doesn't go bad in 15 years, and you're stuck with it. You want something that lasts. So these guys are pretty reputable. That's my two cents on it. If it was up to me, I think I would say accept it. But this is a board decision here, and it's open for discussion.
What kind of guarantee do they offer? Do you know offhand?
What is the warranty on this? Do you know? Any letter?
I gotta know what an average sounds like. Solar panel.
Bottom line, this is the only company that follows the guidelines.
I agree.
The only thing are we okay with only receiving one bid?
That's legal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Are safe? Are covered?
All you have control over is asking for it. You have no control over how many people
apply.
If you think that there was something defective in the town's process, then, you might do it again. But here, it was clear, one person got it right.
So what I see is just the normal warranty on the product itself, Chris, that you'd ask for.
Yeah, I was just curious.
There's a warranty on that. And I think this is probably going to be the warranty from the manufacturer on the actual equipment that we install. Yeah. And then the warranty for the contractor in New York State is always a year minimum, unless you get something additional in your contract.
Okay.
And I'm
also the wire nuts electric.
Yeah, that's
well, that's
all one thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought that was two.
They're all the, yeah, that's one company.
Got it.
Yeah.
And wire nuts.
I agree with that. You know, he's the only one who actually met all the specs. I was a little concerned because last year when we started the process, the other bidder had come to the site and spent a lot of time here, but they didn't actually follow the RFP instructions by coming to the walkthrough. So I think we're, you know, the price is going to be the same no matter what. It's just the size
right.
of the system.
Well, yeah. The size
right,
of the
right.
system.
Exactly.
And that's why I was asking this question today to Jim, because he does quite a few of these for municipalities. He works with the students in college.
Right.
And what they did is they went to the college and got a grant and did all three systems. So they did one on the ground with post. They did one on top of a roof. And then they did a third one in an array. So they set up all three different kinds with one grant. They did a 15.5 or 17 kW system at the college and set up three different kinds so any municipality wanted to do them could come see an example of each one working, right? And when I told them, I said, well, here's the grant we got through NYSERDA, because they did the same thing we did. They're about 3 months ahead of us, and that's why he keeps asking me, have you bid it out yet? What's going on? Where are you at? And I told him, well, here's where we are. We're getting a 14.3. I said, this was what our grant was. And he says, yeah, you're right there. That's the right size for the money that you're putting into it. Because they do quite a few of them, so it's up to you guys. What we got? I don't see any additional warranty information, which means it's just going to be the warranty that's listed on the parts and equipment installed, and then 1 year on any service that's done, workmanship, stuff like that.
Okay.
All right.
I'm making a motion. We accept that bid. We can't go. So
we have a motion to accept. Do we have a second?
I second that.
We have a second. Do we have any questions or comments? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All
aye.
Against? Motion carried. At this time, we'll open the floor to the public. Is there anyone that has any comment? Cassie?
In the budget for assessors last year, under...
We're going to get to that.
Oh.
I'm going to take care of that. Yes, ma'am. We already fixed that.
Okay.
I know where you're going.
Come on, Cassie. Catch up.
Because of a mind
come on,
here.
Catch up.
Yeah. I know where you're going.
Okay.
We'll address that in just a minute.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Is there anyone else?
Do you have a date on when the work's going to start, if everything goes through?
I don't have an actual start date on this. Did we have an installation date on the letter? I know that it's tentative. He's not sure. It's really going to be dependent on the weather. Okay? If we get some decent weather, there's a chance we can get this in this fall. Here's the problem. We're putting it on top of the salt shed roof. That's a metal roof that we just installed, and it's about an acre and a half large. So you get the slightest bit of fog, dew, or anything like that, you're not standing up there. You're going to go down. Okay, so he's just talking about... Okay, so one of the things we have, John, is John here? Yeah, okay, this one's for you, John. Please note at the time of the walkthrough, there's not any internet service at the salt shed. The town will need internet service for the monitoring platform to function. Also, due to the time of year, installation may be delayed by inclement weather. It doesn't give us an actual date unless there's something on there. He told me that if the weather was decent, we got some really nice dry weather, unlike what we normally get this time of the year, that there would probably be time to go up there and get that array on the building. And then they got a trench that's probably about 200 feet plus that they got to dig right across our parking lot to tie the line in. Two things are going to happen on that. Me and John have had some discussion. We're going to talk with the contractor. I know him really well. We've worked together for years. He's worked together in town before as an electrician doing these before. We have 150 amp service going out there, so we have three large mains that already go out to the salt shed roof. We're going to see if he can tie his array back into the panel and run that array voltage through those mains. They should be the same exact size mains, and then he doesn't have to dig that whole trench through there. If that's acceptable and those wires are large enough to do that, two things. Why are the wires this large in the first place? We must be using it. Well, we were. We had vapor lights in there this big. We need to take the vapor lights out. We need to put LEDs in there. The last set we didn't change. We didn't change them because we didn't have a lift to do it. So once we put the LEDs in there, we don't need 125 amp service anymore. We're going to need 10. we will now have those open lines and those mains, which might be available to feed back through to get us to our panel and not have to dig up. If we can do this, what we're going to do is have them take the cost of that trench and have them roll it into a larger system. Because excavating is a big piece of this. The lift is a piece of this too, because it's over 40 feet high that he has to put this array up. Okay, so there's a couple issues we've gone through that we've spoken about, me and John, and we're going to talk to him about this and kind of show him what we have. And with the changing of those vapor lights while we have the lift there, we might be able to do away with that 150 amp service and use that as the service line to bring it back out to the main DPW building. Running the calculations on there just for ballpark, they ran the kilowatt hours for DPW down there. This system will take away about 18-20% of the bill monthly. So that's what we're looking at. It's not going to wipe anything clean, but it's definitely going to make a difference. Yes, sir.
What was the amount of that bid?
It comes down to this because of this thing.
So it's $58,900. We have savings on the system of $6,493. So the system cost after the tax credit is $52,406.50. Total system value is $58,900. And it's a $14,430 system size.
And we have a NYSERDA grant and an O'Connor grant that covers the whole
thing. So
including the installation of the Wi-Fi.
The internet. That we may have to put the internet
yeah,
in.
Yeah, we might have to pay.
It's not going to be crazy.
No. John, how involved do you think it's going to be getting internet service down there?
We got it.
You have it. We just need to get it over there, right?
Call them and have them set it up.
So that's not a big deal.
Can we get a booster that would work? No, I mean, I've got one at home. It's fabulous.
I mean, you probably could, actually.
I don't know how far it is. It's pretty far, right?
It's pretty, so like $100.
Probably. Yeah.
How many feet is that?
Yeah.
Plus one.
And we'll do that soon, so it's there when they're ready.
Right, absolutely.
And they don't have to wait for it.
It's way more than 100 feet.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking 3 to 4.
Yeah, it's like, I think it turned out to be like 300 feet, 300 or something.
Private booster wouldn't work then.
Yeah. But we have that conduit, like we keep saying, with those lines in there, and that's what we're saying. We might be able to just pull something. So we got some things we want to go over because we have some other stuff, and if we don't have to dig up the parking lot with asphalt, we don't want to. You know, that
if we do have to dig it up, though, can John's crew can do that?
I think he figured that as part of this price. This is as part of that grant. So we need to look and figure out what we need to do with that. And if that's something you want to try to pawn off onto John without him crying about his budget.
He's here.
We're at a budget hearing, by the way.
You think he's going to miss this one?
Right. So if we get through all of that, then yeah, maybe we get a larger system. I got to tell you, I'm just not feeling it, Brian. Anyways. All right. So we're good on that? Oh, we're still on open floor to the public, so I was answering questions. So anyone else? Open floor to the public. Once, twice, gone. All right, next item. Authorization for Supervisor Davis to execute change order from Catskill Watershed Corporation for Community Wastewater Management Program, Hamlet of New Kingston, participating community agreement to CWC, agrees to purchase the property for the Community Wastewater Project in CWC's name instead of the town of Middletown's name. So this is to execute that agreement. They're going to purchase the property and it'll be in their name. We're purchasing the property in their name. We have no liability on this.
Right, and just the advantage to that is the agreement provides that if there's excess land, that the town has 2 years
to sell it.
If it can't sell within 2 years, there's a payback provision. If we end up in, you know, I spoke to Julia earlier, I don't know what, you know, if you have additional information, but we know that if the Moriarty project property is the one that's purchased, there's going to be a big piece of land.
Mm-hmm.
So CWC is actually doing this to assist the town, so it won't have this big chunk of land that it needs to
sell
off or repay. They're keeping that burden
right.
on them.
I know when we originally talked about this whole thing, it was like 14.
15 acres or something like that. Or is
that's what we're going to use.
That's, yeah, but that's what I mean. That's right. Yeah, so 14, the rest can be parceled out, technically.
The rest of it's going to be sold. The problem is there's whack easement on it.
Right, right.
So that's what the issue is for selling.
Right. I think they'll probably be, you know, eminent domain.
No, to take the, off the piece we need. WAC has to come off of the piece we need for project. The rest of it will still have a WAC easement, which makes it more difficult to sell in the future because you can't do anything with land.
So it's a 5-acre plot, though, that is exempt from the WAC.
Whatever they eminent domain.
That was the building lot.
The building lot. Building lots are also regulated under WAC. I mean, I haven't looked at that particular arrangement. But there's, you know, but yeah, you usually get 5 acres around the house,
yep.
Which you can not do anything you want, but basically you're free to.
Right.
So this is not a written agreement?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I'd love to see it before I approve it. Okay, so it says that we've entered into an agreement for us to purchase the property, and we don't have to do a resolution or anything on this?
No, you
just do a resolution.
This is a resolution. Okay, we didn't get any of those.
No, I just got it, but that's all it says, because guess what Carrie has said it.
Yeah, no, that's why I had to call, and I called Alan, too. It's just scary when we get stuff the day before that's like, giant thing, ramifications, don't know what they are. Who are we agreeing with? You know?
Well, there are none to us. That's why we're doing this. The problem was, the issue I had was this, was not eminent domaining, which we still have to do in our name, mm-hmm. which is not a problem. The problem is that you have a 100-plus parcel of land with a WAC easement on it that's been on the market for the last 5 years that he has not been successful in selling, and now we're going to try to sell it.
Well, but we aren't.
That was the original concern,
right?
And that's when we changed that, and they said, okay, we'll put it in our name, you'll purchase it with our funds in our name, and now we're liable.
I cannot approve this until I read it, and I do not have time to read it right now. I'm sorry. So I can't personally say this is okay. Mm-hmm. I need you to send me this stuff. I can't have it just come to me at the meeting
mm-hmm.
and have a vote on it.
So what do you guys want to do with this? You want to copy all this and we'll deal with it next month?
Is that going to slow stuff up?
I don't know, but if you can't do it and the rest of the board doesn't want to, then too bad. We'll just make it slow up. So if you guys want to do that, we'll shut this down. Everyone get a copy of it.
Yeah, I even talked to Alan and he didn't tell me it was in writing until this moment. So I get that this is happening quick, mm-hmm. but...
Well, it was always going to be in writing. We wouldn't do something verbally.
Well, I actually thought it was verbal until this moment. So I'm glad it's in writing.
No,
sorry, I didn't clarify that with you either.
After we hung up, I was thinking, maybe she should call Tim.
Mm-hmm. Tim Cox?
Tim's one.
Oh, that's the lawyer. Yes.
Okay. That's who I spoke
but
got it. Okay.
Whatever. You know.
I mean, I'm just... My concern is that there are unintended consequences in here. What I asked Alan was, does this lock us into anything? And he's like, no. But I don't know because I haven't read it.
Right.
Have you reviewed it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You've reviewed it. Okay, so do you think it locks us into anything?
No. What it says, well, what it locks us into is CWC taking title to the property.
Right.
Which,
we don't. We're out,
you know,
we're out
is, of you know,
it.
Yeah. Which is a good thing
yeah.
to be.
Yeah, in theory, that sounds
into.
Great.
If there's... If the choice is made to buy some other property, and again, as you know, as I said on the phone, you know, I don't know if there are other properties, you know, available.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was one that was tested and you know, didn't work out. I don't know if there are others.
Yeah,
this
that's
one we know. You know, if a big parcel is being purchased, we know there's going to be excess land.
Yeah.
If there's some other parcel purchased, there may not be, and all this would be irrelevant.
Yeah, my concern is that this is going to somehow lock us into the Moriarty property in a way that we didn't intend to do. That's really my concern.
It doesn't.
I mean, I trust you as our counsel. Yeah.
Well, and that's why we have one. So, I mean,
yeah.
I'm pretty
comfortable
with this.
When we talked this afternoon, I didn't know this is what was going on.
Yeah.
Pat, how do you feel about it?
I'm good with it. I mean, it's up to me. I'm going to sign this thing. We're going to move this thing forward. That's what I am. That's why we sent it to Carrie. So, and Tim Cox drafted this up. We knew this. We're the ones who did this. I'm the one who said, I don't want any liability for the town.
Agreed.
No matter what. Well, there was going to be.
Yes.
If we wouldn't have been able to sell it in 2 years, we would have been responsible for the payback.
Right.
And that's why I said, no, we're not going to do that. You have an endless stream of money from DEP, your banking institution, between the two, between DEP and the watershed communities, and I know that we can do this in a manner where the town isn't going to be held liable with a piece of whack land that you couldn't sell for 5 years. How are we going to sell it after we take a piece off of it?
Yep.
And eminent domain and put it all over the place.
My other concern is that if we do this today, there are going to be grumbles that we didn't vet it properly, and I don't want that coming up either.
Well, I'm not worried about that because I gave the carrier attorney, and that's why we pay him. We vetted this properly.
I have no issue with it. We'll just give him Carrie's number.
Yeah. Chris, how do you feel?
I mean, after here, if it gets rid of any liability involving us, I agree with it. So.
Okay.
You know, I mean, the whole 2 year thing, I didn't realize that was going to be a factor in it until we just spoke.
Well, that, yeah,
I remember
that. 2 years is, yeah. I mean, do you guys want me to read this? It's only 4 pages.
2 pages.
It's not that big. Let's be serious
that's
here. We've spoken
I mean, sure.
That's
yeah.
I mean, you're going to help put everybody. Skip all the whereas.
Yeah. Right. And let's just go to real property acquisition here. 302A. CWC shall disperse program funds from the town's block grant amount for the acquisition by CWC or the town of interest in real property as necessary for the project. That means we will be signing the eminent domain to carry that through. In the event of this agreement is terminated after the interest in real property is acquired with such funds, or in the event that subsequent to each acquisition the real property interest or portion thereof is no longer necessary for completion of the project, the owner of such interest shall, in the case of the town, us, one, offer to sell the land to New York City DEP for lesser of the cost of the fee interest acquired or its fair market value, and return the sale proceeds less expenses to CWC for reinvestment in the Community Wastewater Management 3 program, provided such sale is in accordance with the land acquisition permit issued by New York City DEP by the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. So essentially, if we did have it, we could sell it to the city and make it a piece of land acquisition. Guess what? I wasn't in favor of that. Two, retain any property, and this is our second option, retain any property interest obtained pursuant to this agreement and reimburse CWC for the lesser of the cost of fee interest acquired or its fair market value for reinvestment in the Community Wastewater Management Program. We keep the land and we pay them the fair market value and we decide to land bank it or do whatever we want to do with it. Payback. Three, sell the property interest for fair market value and return the sale proceeds less expenses to CWC for reinvestment in the Community Wastewater Management Program.
Okay.
We sell it and we give them the money back. Last, and this is not an option, those were your three. In the event the town chooses to sell the property or interest in property, it shall make its best efforts to do so within 1 year of such termination. If the town is unable to sell the property or property interest within 2 years of such termination, the town shall reimburse CWC in accordance with Section 302 of this agreement and the program contract. Okay, so that's where that is.
So if we can't sell it in a year,
we need to reimburse.
We are on the hook for something then.
If the town chooses to sell the property,
yeah. if we sell, we have to give them the money.
Okay.
We have to pay them back. If we sell, we have to.
Okay.
I
highly appreciate this. Thank you.
See, that's if it's purchased in the town's name.
Okay, and we're not going to do that.
We're not doing that.
Because the rest of it says we can't.
Right. It doesn't say we can't. The funds are being dispersed so that CWC background acquisition by CWC or the town.
Of interest, right.
Right.
Okay.
So it says what happens if the town, you know, and I assume that they're putting that in because, you know,
if anything can happen.
You know,
right.
Well, right. If some more reasonable.
Now that
so that's
the town.
The town.
Got it.
Now here's CWC. In the case of CWC, which is what this is doing, CWC do this. Number one, offer to sell property interest to DEP for lesser cost fee interest acquired as fair market value. Same exact thing. Return to sale proceeds less expensive. Reinvest such proceeds in the Community Wastewater Management Program. Provide such sale in accordance with the land acquisition permit issued to DEP and New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. CWC has to do the same exact thing we do. They have the same exact requirements.
Yep, I'm
Two, sell the property of interest, a fair market value, reinvest sale proceeds, less expensive. CWC shall sell the property interest in accordance with the foregoing provisions within 2 years and 6 months of the
quit while you're ahead.
I know.
Yeah,
voting for it.
Okay. And then all the rest costs go back to the program.
As long as there's no hidden.
So that's what it was. And the idea was that we in the beginning felt like this could be an issue if we couldn't sell the property and we were on the hook for it. Because how would we pay for that much land?
Awesome.
And that's what we didn't have the coffers to do. And that's why it was like, hold on, let's do this differently. We'll be
along.
The bad guys,
yep.
But we don't want to own it.
I'm here. Okay. You got my vote.
All right. So
thank you.
There we are. Motion?
I will make a motion.
We have a motion to accept. We have a second.
Okay.
We have a second. Any questions or comments?
Who's second?
That's it. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All against, motion carried. Can I, do you sign this now? Can you do this right now?
Yeah, fine.
Right?
It's time to make some money, right?
And what's today?
Today's
1. 10.
10. There you go. Thank you. Hey, man, it's been a long day. Work with me. All right, let's see here. Nope, that's not me. And then there's this.
Also, Alan promised me he didn't trap us in anything. So.
And then
I know
the notarized, so there. There's that. Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Next one. Highway Superintendent John Byrock, seasonal road list, 2019 annual inventory of highway equipment and creating employee handbook. John?
last week you received our seasonal limited roads. The only change from last year is we took the account road off. All the rest of the roads are the same. It's been seasonal for many years.
So we need to accept that seasonal road list, right? So we need a motion to accept.
So moved.
We have a motion to accept the seasonal road list. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Do we have any questions or comments? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All against, motion carries. The other thing, creating employee handbook, you're digging into that, looking into that, right?
I dug on and dig in before.
Yes.
I did see a flyer for it that I found in my office. I thought it was Cornell. It was actually the Association of Towns that put this out in 1998. Okay. Suggesting a book. And it just gives the same book that I had brought in that kind of Walt News. It's all the same format as what this suggests. So the only price I got from them was $4,500. I didn't reach out to any more. I don't know other companies that do this. Maybe there's more. We can find out some other towns. If I gave you last week the list, there was like 4 towns in Delaware County that already use this company, but there was multiple ones across the state that use this company to do their employee handbooks. I didn't know where to proceed any further with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, we just want to look at it. I know that there was some concerns from the board. Handbooks can be liability creators. So, but also, on the other hand, we have situations in which the union contract doesn't cover. For instance, what we brought up last week is a situation in which employees run out of time, but yet they're taking some more time. And what do you actually do? The contract doesn't speak to that. Whereas in an employee handbook like Walton has, it does speak to it. It has a whole section that speaks to exactly how you deal with that. It makes it a little bit, kind of summarizes it, simplifies it, makes it easier. But
is there now, I seem to remember the town having some sort of like policy book.
We have a town union.
There's separate policies,
that's it.
But not a book.
Oh, that big
we don't have one book. We have 10 policies or 12 policies, whatever we have. They're not in a format.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. It seems to me like a lot of the stuff is probably covered.
We have it all. It just needs to be put in a couple of
I mean, I've got an issue with spending $4,500 for it. I'm not saying it's not important, but I'd like to take our time and see if there's maybe a... take a closer look at what we already have in hand and maybe just enhance that or something ourselves, even with Carrie probably would like to do that.
I would love
but,
to
you know, but you know I'd like to take our time. I'm not ready to commit $4,500 to something that would probably have a lot of stuff covered, correct Beth?
Well, and it might also be that you know it needs to be enhanced and circulated, I mean, I don't know, I mean, maybe when a new employee comes on, they're given a copy.
This is why I'm going with this.
So we got a union handbook.
We don't have an actual handbook. We have a non-union full-time policy. We have a union agreement.
Okay.
There's nothing for elected people.
Right.
We have a health insurance policy that states when you're eligible for health insurance, blah, blah, blah. We have, of course, all the workplace violence. We have an ethics policy. We have all of that stuff. And
All the policies.
We can put them in one place pretty easily. John's talking about certain circumstances. You know, if he can think of others, I mean, we can make one if we have to say, if this happens, if you clock out early without permission, you're not getting paid. Well, you know,
Our whole thing is with it. Whatever we do has to coincide with the union.
Yep.
Right.
That's what this company does. They take the union contract, they take everything we got in place, they work to marry it together so nobody's fighting in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So if we make it ourselves, which we can, everything has to go through Carrie. Carrie has to fight it out with the union, make sure it's all agreed upon before it goes into official handbook. So that's our attorney's work then, to make sure everything coincides with the union. So we're putting more in his place. We can't just draft something up and say, here you go, this is it, if it conflicts with the union rules.
Agreed.
So this company already works with the union. Delaware County actually has their handbook. They have 4 different unions in their handbook. Mm. So theirs probably covers pretty good. Maybe we can use it as a draft. Somebody still has to take the initiative to have time to do it.
Right, which I would just throw in. Volunteering for free? Well, no, that probably wouldn't, it probably wouldn't be me. It would probably be Frank Miller, who's always been the union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the charge of Frank Miller.
Right.
That's why I'm throwing it out. As much as I love you to give me more things to do,
it might be so.
That might be a little beyond my. Considering
Frank's rate of $185 per hour or $75 per hour and other issues that we use him for, it might be cheaper to use a consultant like John is saying that takes on that legal responsibility of confirming that information.
Agreed. But so, can we like hold on it?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. We can hold on that.
That's fine. It came to me, I got a new employee I got to hire here this fall. I'm looking through my desk to what I give him. I'm searching files and files and files. Finally, I come up with about 8 different things I got to give him, but there's nowhere it's in one place.
Yep.
You know, and that's only the stuff that I'm aware of that I forgot that I got way back 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, we can find something with all of our policies in one place. We just haven't.
We haven't, right.
We can do, you know, we can do all that fancy binding and make them one document.
Sure.
But
I mean,
separate policies.
We just have never... We got sexual harassment, workplace harassment.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff has to be given to a new employee right away.
Yeah.
This is stuff that most of my employees didn't have right away. Yeah. They got it on one this year, one 5 years later.
Right.
Now I have to give this to a new employee all at once. So I got to not only have it, I got to be able to train it. So when I pull him through the door, we can train him right away. These are your requirements. These are the trainings you got to have. You still want this job? You know, I don't have that to hand out to anybody at this time.
So good.
That was my idea.
So maybe what we'll do is
spells out everything that you got to do to be part of this job. Drug and alcohol testing. It's mandatory in our job. It's not optional, you know, and any of that stuff, health insurance. I didn't realize, is it mandatory or is it optional? You know, there's nowhere to state it. So when people say they come in and, oh, I got to take 25% out of my paycheck for my health insurance, that's $4 an hour. I can't afford it. Do I have to have it? There's nowhere in writing that says, yes, we have to have it. No, we don't. That I have in my office to give to these, you know, these new employees.
So maybe what we'll do is, Beth, we'll start pulling the policies together. And
I mean, Patty's got
them. I've got them all.
So what we'll do
all
is...
All they got to do is
give copies.
I give copies.
I mean,
right, so let's make a stack of all of our policies that a new employee would get. And we'll make a stack of them. And we'll make a standard set of them. And make a binder of them. And we'll keep one here and we'll give John one. Right, and then at least we'll have all the policies in one place. We'll put them together and we'll keep one with Patty, we'll give one to John, so make sure we have a book of all of those, that way at least they're in one spot, and that's some place to start with.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. You good with that? Mm-hmm. All right.
And then maybe, John, as we go along, if you see weaknesses or things that aren't covered, then we can start addressing those. Maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll end up with the hand, you know, this company, but...
There's one issue I had for guys who come in and walk off the job at 9 o'clock in the morning without getting permission. I come back to the shop, I call them up, I say, what are you doing? You've got all this stuff we've got to do, you're holding up a crew. Oh, I had to go home and babysit. There's nothing in our union contract that pays that. You have to have 2 days advance notice for vacation leave, 2 days advance notice for personal leave. Sick time is sick only, not vacation as you want. So what pays them for that day when they just walk out the door without permission?
But isn't that personal leave?
What's that?
Doesn't that fall under personal leave?
You have to have 2 days advance notice.
I know, but then...
In the contract, you got to have 2 days advance notice.
I know, but can't you say to them, you didn't give...
They're gone, they left.
I mean, where does it say they go out without pay? Because in the contract, it says you must give 2 days advance notice.
So they don't get paid.
Just walk out without permission.
I think if they didn't get paid, then they wouldn't do it again.
What I'm saying is, it's not in a handbook. So the first time I don't pay them... The union's going to breathe down my throat because they weren't aware of it. Because it's not written.
Right, but if
somewhere.
Don't they get the union contract then?
What's that?
Don't they get the union contract?
It's not in the union contract what they would use when they walk off the job without permission.
What are the repercussions?
What's the repercussions of walking off?
Okay, so are you saying that nowhere is it written down what the repercussions are?
Right.
That's what we talked about this.
It writes down, you know,
so,
not only just
adamant,
it's in the union.
Now's the time to do it.
It writes down the repercussions
correct?
If you don't
yes.
do this.
I think putting it in the union contract is the logical place.
Yeah, so what we do is we address it in the union contract.
Right now. Right, we got a contract coming up. We'll address it right now.
And any other weaknesses you have like that?
Give us a list of them.
Would you?
If you get them in there, that'd be a help.
Yeah.
If anything that they don't have in writing,
sure.
They're going to come back
right.
and yep. fight with us.
Yep. That's a good yep. solution.
So give us a list of that because we're going to get started to that shortly
yes.
anyways.
That'd be good.
So if you give us a list this week, cool. that would be good. Or next week. All right, so that's what we'll do. We'll put everything together in one pile. John will give us a list of the issues he's dealing with, and we will incorporate them into union contract negotiations. All right. Move on. Number 8, review and adopt the 2020 tentative budget as preliminary budget and schedule a public hearing for Wednesday, November 6, 2019, to consider the 2020 preliminary budget. All right, so what I will do is I will read this again. We went over it real quick in the workshop, but I'll read essentially the budget. The proposed tentative budget, the tax cap for 2020 is 2.529%. The budget increase is 2.518%. We stayed underneath it. The unexpended balance used in the budget general fund is $16,750 and the highway outside village is $17,800. That is a very, very small amount of unexpended balance to use to make a budget fall under the 2%. Normally we have seen much larger amounts of unexpended balance used. There was a lot of careful, good decision making that's taken place over the last couple of years and we're starting to see the outcome of that. 2% pay raise for all employees across the board except for Bob Payne, our water superintendent. All band payment, which is the bond for the tractor at transfer station on page 5 for tractor purchase, principal and interest is estimated on that. There's an increase of $12,000 in retirement for the New York State retirement system across four major funds. Health insurance increase is 1.5% shown in the four major funds. And reduced water district superintendent salary from what Lamont was receiving. Remember that we were in contract with Lamont, and what happened is they let us out. We used Bob, and we only paid them for any additional services. Bob's salary was about half or less of what that contract was, so we saved quite a bit of money on that. The one issue in the whole budget, which Ms. Palin was bringing up earlier, is under the food pantry. Mm. That's what yeah. page is that?
I thought you had an assessment issue.
I wasn't bringing that up, but that's okay. Page three, Pat.
Page three. So on page three.
The bottom quarter there. 61434.
So we reduced the food pantry.
Food assistance program.
There we go. So we reduced it by 718. If you'll remember last year, what the board decided to do was take the increase that the assessors were getting since they got an increase, but they'd asked for a percentage increase as well. We gave them the increase to bring their salaries back to where it was, and instead of giving them a percentage increase raise on top of that, we took that increase and the board decided to give it to the food pantry.
Right.
That was $718.
Correct.
This year, when I set that up, that little fact eluded me. We did not put the $718 in there. We realized it the following day after our workshop, and you know Beth mentioned it to me. So we want to put that $718 back in there. Okay?
Aww.
So that's not really going to break anything. Cassie, if that was not your issue, by all means, please address what you were going to.
Okay. I'm just on page one. Under the contractual expenses for the assessors, last year it was $9,200 because $4,200 of it was for a computer program.
It was for the aerial assessment, or what do you call that?
Pictometry.
This year it's for training. They added $3,500 in because they each need another full week of training, and it cost about $3,500 when they did it a couple months ago.
Okay.
So they asked to add $3,500 in for training,
okay,
to finish their training.
So $3,500 for training.
Yep.
$4,200 was taken out.
$4,200 was taken out.
Because pictometry is done, $3,500
put back. Their contractual is about $5,000, uh-huh, so the extra $3,500 is for training.
Okay, very good. And they're all certified now?
No.
No, that's why we put $3,500 in training, so there's no excuse.
Last year, raises were, for these positions, would be based on certification.
Correct.
So they didn't get certified last year.
But the problem was, is it wasn't made available.
Yeah, it's not their
They
fault.
Did all the training that was made available through the state, and then it was made available because we had some problems with our county assessor that wasn't able to provide some training.
And they all spent a week at training a couple months ago.
Right.
And there were sessions that were offered at the same time
most
that they were supposed
them,
to go to both, and they couldn't. I was there yesterday asking this question, and so
okay.
They said.
Just.
But no, that's why we did that. Yep, that's why we did that. Yep.
Okay, those are my only questions from last year.
Okay. That $718, where did we take that from?
We can
actually, we can put it in there and it still doesn't break the 2%, right?
No.
All right, so let's do that.
Thank you.
There you go. From the board, anything, any questions?
Got a couple little annoying questions. Yep, you can style you want. You knew they were coming. Page two, engineer, contractual expense for an engineer. Who is that?
It's whoever we need through the year. So if we need to hire Paul Dawson for somebody, or if we need Rob to survey something, whatever.
Okay. We have $2,000
in there. Usually at some point in the year.
Grants and funding never include engineering.
It's just in case.
Sure, perfect. Great. You
never get it.
Okay. Buildings, contractual $100,000? Who's that?
That's everything it takes to operate this building, the highway department, and the transfer station.
Heating.
So it's kind of everything together.
Okay. So that's like operations for all the physical plants.
And we need to do something with the furnace. We haven't quite got it done
Which
this year.
Which is why we kept it at $100,000, because we know we got to dump some money in the furnace to fix it.
Oh, I'm glad that's in the budget. That's great.
Yeah.
I hear assessment has no heat, by the way.
None of us have heat.
Yeah.
The furnace does not work in the entire building.
Oh, my God, guys. Wow.
Okay. So we all wear sweaters.
File it under others? No.
That's why there's $100,000 in there to address the heat.
Getting us the price to repair what we have.
Yeah, Travis
and
is right.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to get off track there.
No.
They were supposed to be.
Trefeson?
Yeah. I'll email them tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I know.
Email them again, but I think that's the real issue is that circulator pump. We're not pumping.
No, we're all good. Yeah.
I mean, like last month they said it was here, right? Or coming the next day or something.
Yeah,
but that's what that is.
It's coming probably the following Monday.
Yeah.
And I never heard anything.
Yeah, no, I'll
what's
definitely
the public safety under contractual? What's that go for? It's for
which one?
The public safety traffic control. There's just contractual.
That's the signs that John buys.
Ah, yep. John signs. Great. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I think that was. Oh, what happens if there's no emergency to that $1,600 on page 3 that
well,
is for emergency coordinator?
The one that's not used, emergency coordinator, is not used unless we have an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
The public information officer is not used unless we have an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
The $700 is for Hiram for CRS.
Okay.
He does get paid.
So is there
he
like a?
Get.
So this is there's an overage from last year because we didn't have
yes.
an emergency there. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. CRS for
and
Hiram.
Hopefully we'll continue to have an overage.
Let's saving a lot of emergency.
Yes, I'm fine with that. That sounds great. You explained the food pantry thing, which I did not catch. So thanks. I think that's well. Yeah. And I noticed the unexpended balance is super small, and that's a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, can you just say why again?
Because we need to get it under the 2.52,
mm-hmm.
and that's all we needed to do that.
That's really pretty impressive.
That's
very impressive.
Nice job. Yes. Oh, I did
unheard
have,
of.
Yeah, it's much less than
and
last
I said, wow, this
40.
Looks too good. Let me triple check.
So that was what I was, it looks yeah. great. Good job. I have one more thing. I'm sorry. General village account 2000 on page 7.
What? Page 7?
Yeah, it's income? No, that makes sense. So who is that? What is it?
General village.
Who's 2000?
7. Oh, that's just the contingency.
What's that mean?
That's the balance. That's one that's needed.
Okay, great. So that's just one of these bookkeeping things.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have one in the general fund also.
Okay, cool. All right, I think that's all my notes. Looks great. Oh, yeah. Sorry, there's one more on page 10. I keep lying. It's fine. You're used to it. We get 10,000 more this year from Fleischmann's, right? That's what that 60,000 is?
No, that's the money that the county pays us to plow their roads.
Yep.
So we're getting more this year.
It's been going up.
Yes, it goes up.
But it looks like it didn't go up 2018 to 2019, so this is a big bump.
Well, that was what we budgeted. 2019 so far is well over that.
Oh, great.
And they're in a new contract.
Oh, I see.
See, so, since I'm on DPW.
Yes, please.
What happens is the city does the contract with Delaware County DPW,
mm-hmm.
and then DPW does a contract with us.
Right.
The difference is that the county maintains all of the roads to the point of paving, guardrails, catch basins,
mm-hmm.
drainage, plowing, everything we control. We, the town, are only contracted to do snow removal.
That's right, I remember this.
Okay, so what happens is the contract that they renegotiated, they get paid a little bit more because of cost of living and increase in services. Therefore, our contract for our work increased as well.
And it also depends on the winter we have.
How much we do.
You know, John gives them their report, and then they reimburse for whatever John gives them.
Right.
So if we have 10 storms in 2 weeks...
We have 10. That's right. It's larger.
We get paid for that.
Right.
So,
cool.
So we're trying to budget to keep it where it is, but that's where it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, really, I'm done now.
Okay. Anyone else?
I think you guys did a good job.
You did. This is a great budget.
Awesome job, Beth.
Yeah. Nice job.
Okay. All right. So then we need a motion to accept this.
No, you need a motion first to page 3 change the 5,000 to that.
Oh, we need a motion. So I make a motion to change the 5,000 on page 3 to 5,718.
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Do we have any questions or comments? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All against. Motion carried. Thank you, Patty. Now we need a motion to accept this as the preliminary budget and schedule the hearing for public hearing for Wednesday, November 6, 2019.
Do two separate ones.
Two separate motions. First, we're going to accept it as a preliminary budget.
I'll make one of those.
We have a motion for that. We have a second.
I'll second.
We have a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All against, motion carried. Now we're going to make a motion to schedule public hearing for Wednesday, November 6, 2019.
So moved.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All against, motion carried. So the public hearing will be Wednesday, November 6, 2019. Consider the 2020 preliminary budget. All right, next item. Resolution 19 of 2019, resolution for amendment to the income level in relation to the partial tax exemption for persons 65 years of age or more. So, we went over this briefly last week. I'll go over it again. Essentially, what we have now is, if you're 65 years of age, well, actually, let me just go through. Defining the age, let me define the age exemption. The owner must be 65 years of age or older. How qualification is determined. Unlike Enhanced Star, all forms of income are counted towards maximum allowable income. Social Security benefits, pension benefits, investment earnings, life insurance proceeds, and rental incomes, etc. The age exemption status quo. Right now you have 16 seniors received the age exemption in 2018 in town of Middletown. Those seniors exempt less than 0.004% of 1% of the town's taxable value. This is 0.004%. Low-income seniors whose income is even slightly above the maximum amount allowable experience higher tax burden by being eligible for only the Enhanced Star exemption. Right now, we have a sliding scale that goes from zero to 13,300. So if you're 65 and older in Middletown and you make above 13,300, you're not eligible for this exemption at all or any percentage of it. We checked this out. The assessors put this together. We were the lowest in the towns bordering us. Roxbury was up to 23,000, and Andes, I think, was 27. So what we did, going through there, we've come up with a resolution to increase that ceiling. Okay, so this ceiling that's at 13, giving an example, I'm going to give you an example of how the current scale can hurt low-income seniors. The maximum allowable income is currently $13,300. Mary lives on Social Security and a modest pension. Her annual total income is $13,200. Mary falls into the 20% exemption bracket. Mary's total income increases to $13,500. Because Mary's total income exceeds the $13,300 ceiling, she's no longer eligible for the town age exemption, and her tax burden increases by 20%. This translates to $8,394 in extra town taxes for 100,000 full value home. So, it's a real low ceiling. We would like to increase that ceiling. We're going to increase that ceiling up to 23,500. We've run the scale to give those percentages across the board. Below 15,000 would be 50% exemption, and then it goes up scale 45, 40, 35 for the more money you make. With a ceiling cap of 23,500, if you make over that, you're not eligible. But at least it will make those people that are on fixed incomes that are having trouble paying their taxes, it will give them an added exemption there. Okay, and it still will affect less than one half of 1% of the tax assets or budgets. Okay,
awesome.
So that's really what this is. We haven't increased it since 2009 or something, or 7.
2006.
2006 was the last time the town increased it. So it's due, it's time, and you know we're all going to be old someday, and we need to think about that. A lot of our residents are older people, and this just doesn't affect that much of the budget or the assessment to be a burden, and it makes a really large difference for those people that are on fixed incomes. So I'll entertain a motion.
Make that motion.
We have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Do we have any questions or comments?
I just want to applaud Assessment for coming up with this.
The Assessment did an excellent job.
It's great.
Kudos to them. Yeah.
Glad they were looking out for it.
Yep, absolutely. If there's no questions or comments, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
All against? Motion carried. All right, next. Appointment of Julia Marks as member of Fairview Public Library Board of Directors, 10-1-19 to 10-31-22. Can I get a motion?
Oh, I'll make a motion.
So we have a motion to appoint Julia Marks. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
We have a second. Are there any questions or comments?
I'll tell her there was a problem.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All against, motion carried. Authorization for Supervisor Davis to execute letter for engagement of special counsel in connection with personal and employment matters.
Uh-oh.
And labor negotiation services for the town of Middletown.
What's this letter say, Pat?
This letter... You want to make that one?
Did you read it to me? That's how I read it?
Well, actually, let's read it.
Yes.
Let's do that. That would help. Apologize for not responding sooner, but here's the guts of it. Dear Pat, you have requested our services, legal counsel in connection with personal employment matters and labor negotiation services down in Middletown. We have agreed to serve as your counsel on those matters. This letter will constitute our retainer agreement concerning our services as counsel. Our services will include all legal services necessary and appropriate to represent the town's interest in connection with the labor regulation for the town. Our services will include advice and representation regarding matters of negotiation, strategy, and advice, and all other related services. Our firm will be retained on the following basis: $185 per hour for my attorney time. We will bill at a rate of $175 per hour for associate attorney's time. We will bill on a monthly basis. We will also charge for all necessary and related expenses in connection with this matter. These charges include postage, faxes, filing fees, reimbursement of all expenses, telephone charges, and all other necessary and appropriate expenses related to the handling of this legal matter. Our firm will provide a detailed itemized monthly statement each month, which will be broken down according to the day and the person rendering the service. A narrative description will be provided with respect to each billing item. The appropriate calculation measured by tenths of an hour are also provided. This invoice shall be specifically itemized and rendered on a monthly basis. Payment is expected within 10 days or reasonable time after rendering of the invoice. In accordance with the rules of Chief Administrator of the New York State Courts, and in accordance with Part 137 of the rules, the town has the right to arbitrate any fee dispute in accordance with these rules. If you request a copy of those rules, one will be provided. If this letter of engagement actually reflects our understanding with regard to the work and billing arrangements of our firm, please sign the same at the bottom. Kindly return the original letter to us in a stamped self-addressed envelope as enclosed. Also enclosed, we thank you for your interest in our firm. Look forward to mutually beneficial relationship.
Sounds good to me.
He's probably going
to
charge you for the stamp.
I would expect.
He said it was included. Postage is included.
I didn't give you the envelope. We're paying for the stamp. Yeah. So, yeah.
So how much do you think it's going to rack up?
So, two things. First, let's deal with this if we want Frank to be our attorney now, right?
I mean, you're looking for a motion?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we have a motion.
I got it.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Do we have any questions or comments?
How much is it going to cost you?
$185.
I know.
No.
I mean, like, are we guessing it could just go on forever? Cause,
you don't know.
And what did it cost last time? Do you remember? Union negotiations are just, we're just...
They weren't that long.
They were not.
It was years. They were tough.
I think it was less than 5,000.
And we're prepared.
It wasn't very much.
It depends on what comes up and how long we negotiate it, and how much we use Frank to do it.
Okay. I mean, fair rate. It's not that bad, actually.
So, any other questions? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All against? Motion carried. All right. Now two. Now that we've done that.
Sign it.
Yeah, sign it. So. I have received an email from their representative that has said that we have two choices. We can enter into extended negotiations to deal with a four-year contract, or they would not be adverse to doing a simple one-year contract with nothing more than a simple salary increase, which I have to tell you, I think is probably the route we should take. I think a one-year contract is definitely in the best interest of the town of Middletown. And I strongly suggest we do that. But that's my opinion. So that's what the options are. We can enter into the full-blown four-year contract and go through all the issues of that, and then everything comes up, longevity, all that stuff. Or they said we would be willing to enter into a one-year contract where we just simply look at salary. Is that what's on the email?
I believe so.
It's just salary.
I think it was just the increase.
Okay, and if you're going to discuss that, you should be in the...
No, I know. I'm just stopping right there. Those are the two options. And that's okay, right? Those two.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
But we can't go any further than that publicly.
Okay, I would be curious, can John weigh in on that? Not now, publicly, but...
John's not...
He's not allowed. I'm not on the Highway Committee, I have no idea how this works.
No. John is in John's administration, so he has no bearing on this. It's between our board and the Highway employees. So, that's something that we can discuss, but I just want to let you know that's the option that's out there right now. It's something to think about. And
seems to make sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't have enough information.
What we do is, obviously, now that we retain Frank Miller, he's going to want to have a conference call with us at our next meeting. And at that time, it'll probably be an executive session, I would expect, a meeting with council. And at that time, we can discuss that, right? Is that the appropriate time? Okay. So, there it is. I've given you the information I can legally give you.
All right, so we're going to, at some future meeting, have an executive session.
Right, now that we have to. When we talk with council, we have to.
Okay, all right.
And we have to be together in a meeting to do it.
So we are not discussing this now.
No.
Great.
No, because there's no sense in it. We'd want to do that with our attorney.
Great.
That's the whole idea, right? Get his advice. So we'll probably do that at the workshop. We'll set that phone conversation up for the end of the workshop next month, to have that conversation, and we'll try to fit that in with Frank's schedule when he can take that call. Okay?
For 59 minutes, exactly.
No.
And it's
15 tenths of an hour.
Yeah, right. The whole board has to do it? It's not, the whole board has to talk.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not. If we're going to have a conversation, the board's going to make a decision on which way you want to go. You don't want that to be one person's decision.
Remember, I haven't been through the union contract.
Right, so what we're going to do is just decide on which route we want to go, and then that's the route we go.
Okay.
All right?
Sounds good.
All right. There you go. So did I sign that? Sign that, right? Okay, good. Next item, application for liquor license for Faith American Brewing Company for 607 Rough Road. So Kelski had already done this once, but he did it in his name, and now he wants to change name on it, so he's applying for another one. We don't really approve this.
You just have no objection
right.
to it.
So
right, so I'm just changing from his name to Faith America.
That's right.
Wasn't his name, it was another company.
Oh, okay.
That's what I meant. But change of point. So right now, I'm not sure that we have any issues on this.
I have no objection.
So we have no objections. Do we need to make a motion to the fact we have no issues?
Nope.
We just move on then.
Yep.
All right, so we have no objection to that. Next, item 13, open floor to the public. Yes, sir, Steve.
Two quick things. One, I hope that there's a process of making the budget available to the public, and that they're aware there's a process.
Go get it from the clerk.
So I know that's traced to the 15 people in this room.
No, but they can come in.
Anybody can go get it from the clerks anytime they want.
Okay, that's great.
It's always public.
I've been a pretty good soul for about a couple of months now, and I have not mentioned the nasty word of community septic. For 3 months, I have communicated first with Henry Lamont, and then subsequent to him with Mr. Cox. And the response I got from questions that we asked was, well, the budget isn't big enough to allow us to communicate with people. I, without being too sarcastic, I find it hard to believe that a $5.2 million budget doesn't allow for adequate communications on obvious issues. So I'm going to share, I'll leave it with Patty, the chain of communications on this plan. And quite honestly, without being rude, we do expect some kind of response other than it's not in the budget. What's interesting is there seemed to have been a race to get the vote done, the initial vote on this program. But since then, all of a sudden, things seem to have slowed up. And there may be good reasons for the slow up, maybe not. I'm not in a position to judge. It was a half a race to get the yes vote. And now, all of a sudden, there seems to be at least an obvious lack of anything getting done, other than switching who's buying the possible site. And I asked a lot of questions on behalf of people. We have spoken to people who voted yes that may well change their vote if they're given the opportunity to vote again, because quite honestly, there have been a lot of changes since this thing was originally designed, for lack of a better word. And I think if there's new direction, new shape, new plans, they ought to be presented in more than just a, here it is, guys. That's it. I know a second vote probably doesn't sit well with many people. But I think given the, I think what appear to be changes in direction, changes in construction, changes in who's buying the land, that people should be given an opportunity for a second vote.
I think probably legally they can't be. And what is probably happening now is the whole purpose of the vote was to start engineering. So what's happening now is the engineering of the system. So,
well, the problem is that there are a lot of dramatic changes that affect people's properties, the tax that's being applied, the $100 to start with no ceiling after that. It's a tax by any other name, $100 a year. Doesn't seem like much, but that's at least 2%.
Which was disclosed prior to the vote.
Well,
so, anyway,
I've addressed the concerns I've gotten, and have not gotten a response either from the engineer or your blessed attorney.
Essentially, what they're saying is we got. I think about four pages of emails here. Mr. Finkel, please be advised that Lamont Engineers works for Catskill Watershed Corporation, CWC. The funds to pay for Lamont Engineers' design work on this project comes from the block grant established for New Kingston and are under a strict budget. As such, there are not sufficient funds to answer individual questions from property owners outside of meetings for that purpose. Lamont Engineers and CWC staff will be available at a public meeting to be held at a later date for any questions or concerns concerned property owners have regarding their individual properties or laterals.
Yeah, so, I think that's Timothy's response.
Well, but again, this was done to move forward with design, like we just said. So your next meeting will be when you get to that next phase in design, and we move forward into that.
They weren't going to bother designing it if there was a no vote, Steve.
I understand that dilemma, but the reality is that if what people voted on is going to be different than what they voted on...
We didn't vote on anything.
Yeah, there was
we
no...
We didn't vote on the system. We voted on...
To have one.
I'm on the opposite side, in full disclosure. I am supporting having a community septic, but we just voted to have a community septic. They didn't. They gave us a proposal that said, this is as far as we're going to go. This is how the houses will be hooked up. We are not going to design anything until we have some land. We're not putting any more money into this because if there's a no vote, it's for nil.
I understand that, but they did discuss the direction of the piping, the location of the plant, proposed location.
Right, but they said it was tentative. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing, how they're doing it. The people that I know that voted yes, because if we don't have a community septic system in place, then the individual septics that don't need code, my house does need code, but I think I might be only one house in New Kingston that needs code. So everyone else, if their system fails, the financial burden is on them. So,
but your property isn't in the system.
Yeah. So, anyways, guys,
we've been through this one.
So, I'm not aware of any substantial design changes at this time, and if they have, they haven't told us about them. And if they do, they're going to have another public hearing and explain that to us.
Right.
Because the last thing I looked at was the plan that I sat down with you, Cassie, and went through. And I'm not aware of it changing from then and that.
That was tentative.
That was tentative, but that was the basic layout of the connection, what houses are getting connected, where's the basic construction easement going to go, and where's the parcel of land where we'll have our infrastructure.
Yeah,
and that's
one,
the basic.
One thing that's very interesting, and it was in the Catskill Mountain News, if I'm correct.
Yeah, that's
and Shandaken, which is having a system funded basically the same way, has a provision in their program that allows homes with less than the 100 feet rule to be able to qualify under certain circumstances. The current program being presented here in New Kingston doesn't. And again, the CWC originally estimated that to upgrade or replace or install needed systems would cost $400,000 or $500,000 versus $5.2 million. So I mean, if we're loading in an extra $4+ million, there ought to be plenty of funds to make up issues that I've addressed and other people have addressed.
So the budget wasn't that high. And Shandaken's system could be completely different from what they're designing here. So trying to compare apples to oranges probably isn't going to work. I think where we are is we had to vote to see if the people that would be connected are in favor of having a system. And now we're moving forward into that design. And when they get to, I think it's 90% design, because I think we're at like 30%, which is the basic preliminary. When you get to like 80, 90%, they're going to have another public hearing. And they're going to come in and say, okay, here's where our design is in more detail. Here's the issues we went into. Here's the environmental issues we went in here. Here's how we mitigated, and here's what we have. That's normally how they work.
Are you saying that the board is committed, depending on the changes that are made in the system, the final system design? If the changes recommended are reasonably different, or unreasonably different, however you look at it, that property owners would be given a right?
Because that's not what the vote is about. The vote was not about what system are you picking. You did not get a choice between three systems. You got a choice between, would you like a cluster septic system or would you not? And that decision was made, and that's not back under question.
Yeah, see, unfortunately, I think a lot of people didn't understand that.
I got to be honest with you. I disagree.
You're saying yay or nay.
We beat this pretty hard here.
So we beat this one down. Any other comments from the public on anything, Rich?
On that contract, do we ever do a 1 year before the postal?
I don't know. It's possible. We've had a union contract for many years. There was even a number of years where they worked without one under Len Utter's administration.
I think there was one that I know of, because the union reps had added to an insufficient amount, and they came back to the town like a year into the contract and said,
I remember this.
You know,
and amended it.
Yeah, you know, and so there was an amendment that I think.
So there was a 1 year amendment, yes.
A 1 year.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other public comments? Yes.
You had said about picking up the budget. When I put the ad in for the public, for the hearing that we have next month, I put in it that anyone can come and pick it up. It's always in the paper.
Okay, that's good.
And Steve, I'll email it to you if you want it. Just
all right, any other comments from the public?
Once, twice,
gone. All right, anything other to come in front of the board?
I have one.
Yes.
I wanted to know what assessment was up to and just went down and talked to them and realized that I have no idea what they do ever. And they're sort of the only department I feel like I just don't have a clue about what they do, because we get reports from everybody else. And, you know, John shows up and can talk. And I was wondering if it would make sense to ask, you know, for an occasional update from assessment, just so I have some familiarity with what they do. I mean, I think I talked to you about maybe having a committee, but maybe that's not efficient. I just am at sea when it comes to assessment. I just don't know anything about it, and I feel like I'm not really prepared to know their job.
So, I don't agree with an oversight committee for elected employees.
Yeah, I mean,
that's like having an oversight committee for the town board.
Right.
We're elected employees.
Fine with that.
So I don't really understand that one. I guess what we could do is we could do it like the building department, which is completely different and appointed, but we'll pretend. And we could have them come in once a year around annual report time and give us an annual report. But the annual report is pretty simple, and you know when they don't do their job, because when people don't receive their tax bills, they call us in mass numbers.
Right.
And we know that there's a problem. Fact of the matter is, the biggest thing going on with assessment is grievance day. And if you guys actually want to meet with them and find out what's going on, I suggest you do it in May.
Well,
right after grievance day, so you have an idea of what's really going on. Because that's when the department calms down,
right,
and it really picks its stuff back up.
Maybe
in the
fall. Like, I was talking with Joe or somebody, like, there are assessment teams that just show up occasionally at town meetings and say, hey, grievance day happened. We saved your butt. We did a great job. You know, I have been trying to learn what assessment does, but I don't.
And we have an assessment committee grievance committee.
We
just appointing the attorney. Oh, yeah. The assessors don't make those
decisions. You appoint them, but the town board doesn't.
No.
That, I'm just saying, there's a one department where I'm like, I just don't, I'm not equipped to make budgeting decisions for them because I don't know what's going on.
Stop and talk to them.
I have.
Yeah.
And then...
That's one way to get to know.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the way we prefer, just to do it in unilaterally.
We can bring them in, but essentially, you know, once a year we'll bring them in and get an update from what you want. But you're not going to get a report from them, because what are they going to report on? They've gone through every property and updated every value. Quick and dirty, okay? I worked in that department. I was asked by the board to do so when the reval was done. Here's what they do in the course of a year, and it starts right about now, would be the time of year when this starts. Your assessors are going to take all of the building permit activity that happened this year, and the building department is going to give them a list of all those permits. They're going to take those permits and correlate a tax map number to them. They're going to take every single open permit or every permit that was issued last year on that property, and that property is going to come up for review. That's how they create their list of properties to look at. They do not go and look at every single property there is in the town of Middletown. There's not enough people, nor is there enough time to do that, nor is there enough budget to do that. So what you do is you do the ones that actually changed. If they got a building permit, it changed. So they go there, and what they do is they take the information card that has the structure, and they add a note to it that shows the addition that was built, or the garage, or the pool, or whatever was done, or an update in it. And then, if it was a renovation, for instance, and I don't want to get down into what they actually do, but I'll give you a close. If it was a renovation, you don't get added square feet. So you're not going to get additional square feet, but what you're going to do is you're going to get a higher grade. There's four grades. Okay? A brand new house is grade A. You're paying top dollar for it, for your square footage. There's a square number foot assigned to it. I don't know what it is for grade A, but I can tell you for pole barns, it's $17 a square foot. I know that because that's the last thing I wanted to build for myself, and I asked them. So you're going to pay about $17 a square foot assessment. That's your actual, what you'll pay for your assessment value-wise on like a pole barn. Habitable structures are more. Let's say that your house is 8 years old. Now it's going to be grade B because it's not new anymore. You have some use to it, so it depreciates. So you have a grade B. That's going to be a little bit lower number per square foot. And that's how that'll be adjusted, and there'll be a grade right there on your tax card that says what grade it is. This is what your tax assessor's determination is. That's what they're actually changing. They're not changing your assessment. They're just adding the square footage that you added per that grade and that number, and or they're changing the grade. Let's say that you come in, most people that grieve their assessment are grieving their grade, mm-hmm. not square footage. It's always the grade. And it's always, I built my house, it's only $500,000, that's all I spent on it, and you got me assessed for $780,000. Now, where it gets funny is when you go to the building department and say, but yeah, but you signed and notarized a building permit for $1.8 million. Right? So, what do you mean? Right. So, that's why we don't go by building permits. That's why we don't do that sort of thing. We have a state standard on this, and that's how it works. It goes by grades. It goes by an inspection of that. What is your interior? Do you have marble granite countertops? do you have Luan countertops, laminate? Right. It really goes on that whole 9 yards, what happens. So that's really what your assessor is doing. So that big list and stack, those are all the old building permit properties that they're going through that year. Now, every year they have to go through, and that's what they spend their winter doing this time of year. They're going to go out, because you'll see them in the office this time of year. You don't see them in the summer, because it's not full time all the time. We know that. So what they do is they spend their time in the winter going around, hitting these houses. They get all their pictures. They do new pictures for updates and pictures of what the new stuff is to justify the grade that they gave and the square footage they gave, the measurements, and then they also correlate it to the building permit and plans, right? So you end up with some time going through there. So that's the work that they're doing right now. Then Meg, who is the clerk, is also taking and inputting that information into our computer system for the assessment and incorporating the new grade and the additional square footage, and there's what your number is. So she has to update each one of those properties depending on residential and commercial. Right now, one of the few problems that's going on in the assessing department, since we're digging into it, because I understand these problems well, they've been digging on me about them, what's going on is they're having trouble accessing the commercial pages. We've had some issues in Delaware County with assessment, with some break-ins, some security breaches. It trashed out a lot of tax records last year. We do not want to open that back up and allow that to happen again. We had an assessor who runs 3 towns, who physically, literally went into the system in front of us and said, look, let me show you this. I can go in there anytime I want, do anything I want, after the system had already been crashed. We literally were there with legal counsel and board members, and he did this in front of us. So we can't divulge what he did or anything that, because he's still an assessor in those towns. But he trashed our entire county assessment by doing this on purpose because of a personality difference he had with someone who worked in that office. All 19 towns got hammered. Your school bills almost didn't come out. We had to have IT, Information Technology Department, literally go in there and punch out all of your school bills. It took them 14 days. Okay? And they did that. That being said, our department right now has access to the residential pages. It can do that. They don't have access to the commercial sites. Okay? And that's what Meg's dealing with right now. I'm on IT. Meg is making me a list of what she needs, and I'm going to bring that to Joe DeMuro, the head of IT, and I'm going to ask him how we get access, even if it's for only one person. Does she do it here? Does she have to go over there and do it? But one way or another, we have to be able to update this. Okay? We can't just not have access to that. That's one of the few issues that they're actually dealing with in assessment right now. They're having a little trouble with. Everything else, they seem to have a pretty good grasp on. They're getting the work done. They are getting through the permits. They're aggravating Hiram in the building department, which is exactly what they should be doing this time of year. And you want them to get through all of those by the end of the year. What you don't have is what they were upset about the first year they were in there. They came in late in the year. They had a stack of 89 properties to look at, and they only had enough time to go through 49 of them. And there was no way they could get through the rest of those properties that year. They knew it, and it was going to roll into the next year. Mm-hmm. That was the first year everyone came in the office. That would have been 3 years ago now, right? 3 years ago now. And what happened was that assessment that wasn't done just simply wasn't updated in the next year's tax rolls, right? The second year, they did catch up on all of them. And they got them. The whole idea is to keep a current tax roll for your budget to assess based off of every year that you do a new budget.
So I appreciate that.
That's a quick and dirty of what they do, but this time of year, that's the really what they're doing. They're taking the pictures, they're taking the measurements, and they're doing a grade on it. And then they sit down for the grades. I don't want you to think that one assessor does this, because they don't. All three of them have to sit down when they do grades. And all three of them go through and say, well, I think it's this, I think it's that, and then they come to a consensus. That way it's not one person making that decision, which is the other reason that we didn't want a sole assessor, because if you go to sole assessor, that person is just making those decisions one right after another.
Yeah.
And I don't like that, because you end up getting too quick to rubber stamp things when you're by yourself. It's better to have a few eyes on it.
I'm making this request because every time I talk to Joe, he's like, nobody ever comes by here, no one knows what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's clearly not referring to you, but he does mean the board.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right in my case. And I've tried, but it's too much information to learn real quick. So I would love a more formal mechanism, but I don't want to straitjacket anybody.
The thing is, I guess probably what you want to do is go in there. The best thing to do, I would say, is wait till probably about November. That's when they're going to have most of their on-site visits done, and they're going to be spending some time in the office November, December, actually going through those files and making determinations. Mm-hmm. And if you really want to understand what they do, that's the time to do it. Because now they got the files laid out, they're going through it, all three of them, and they can tell you what we're doing. Here's our information card. Here's what we're doing. Here's our grades. And they can kind of go through it. That's how I learned it. You really got to have the information laid out in front of you and understand what they're doing. Or it just looks like they're kind of transferring things from one card to another. It doesn't make sense.
Right. I mean, so guys, when are we going to all have this field trip where we spend
Well, you're not, because it's a town board meeting, so you're going to do it one at a time.
Right. I mean, okay. That's why I'm asking for a more formal way.
I would go in there and say, what I would do is ask, when are you guys going to be sitting down going through files?
Okay.
When are you going to be making those determinations? I want to come in and sit down and start understanding this a little bit.
Okay.
Right. They made me do it because we were doing a reval, and the assessment department could not explain to the board how they were doing the reval in 3 months. So they asked me to go in there and work with Gary and them for a month and come to the board and explain what was being done with the reval, and that's what I did. When you get further into it, what you're going to understand is the way, so let's get beyond that part. Here's part B of it. It's broken down, you break your assessment down into how many thousands of dollars. There's $156 million worth of total, $256 million worth of total assets down, middle down, I believe. Something like that. It's right at the back of the assessment book. You take that and break that into how many thousand dollars there are. You come up with that number. Then you take your budget, you break that into how many thousand dollars there are, and then you divide one into the other. That's how much each person pays per $1,000 of value. In the village of, in town of Middletown, it's about $13.75 a thousand. In Margaretville, it was $15.50, and in Fleischman's, it was $17.25, I think. This was several years ago. Those numbers are probably different now, so don't beat me up if I got them wrong, but that's what it was per $1,000 as per the budget of what it was costing on average. So that's just another quick way of understanding what they do, because that's what happens when you do the budget. You break it into thousands, and then you break your total assessment into thousands, and that's how you come up with that number on what their taxes are. So the best way, the way I learned was actually going in there, sitting down with them and doing it. Trying to ask one of them to explain it to you, it's like me trying to explain you without a file in front of me. If I had a file, I could pull the file out and say, look, here's where the information card is, here's what we're doing. So I would just ask them, when are you guys going to be meeting? I'd like to sit down and kind of learn this. And make sure there's not more than two of you in there at any given time, so we don't have to
Thank you for reminding me. Yeah. Okay.
All right, anything else?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh.
Stone Schoolhouse.
Yes, sir.
Town Middletown owns property. You do know that, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's a tree down there that needs to come down.
Okay.
Can we, the School Board Association, have somebody come in and take a tree down on town property? If we hire somebody to come in on town property.
Yeah, we can. We can hire someone to do it.
But the town can.
Can
the school board. Can the school do it? The school board do it. Can we do it?
Why
does the town board, or does it have to come through the town? Insurance. We're just asking. There's a tree. We need to have a tree taken down.
I think that if you just give us your insurance as additionally insured, we're good.
Yeah.
That's all we require from anyone. So whoever you hire to do it just gives us a copy of their insurance listing in town is additionally insured. And then you're good to go.
I'd be good for that.
As long as we don't have to pay the bill. Do we have to pay the bill?
No. I can't ask for you because I sit on the board. No, no. But our question was, though, it came up in the thing. What about it?
No.
So in other words, basically, we got to have somebody that's insured.
Right.
We can't have somebody somebody could donate their services, but they got to be insured.
Which one is it?
It's a big, huge old maple.
Is it on the building?
It's a huge old maple. It's got to come down.
Is it over the building?
We actually talked to John about it.
And John said that.
John
said get Harry.
No, well, the issue is, too, is we border city property.
Right.
So, basically, to take the tree down, it's got to come down. You know, you got to have somebody come and take it down.
Right.
Cut it down,
so you
fall it on us.
So if you're going to hire someone to take it down anyways, they're insured. I mean, most people, unless there's only one person around here that does this, it's not insured, and I'm not going to name them.
No, but I mean, but so the issue is, that's what we want to make sure is that we're not...
Any of these guys that you hire, you know, top-notch, Three Amigos.
No, right, but I mean that's
somebody with insurance.
Somebody with insurance, right. And just list the town as additionally insured, and that's a matter of literally calling the insurance company and saying, put the waiver on there and pass it to them.
Okay. No, we just didn't want to do it without. No.
And we don't have a problem with that. I can't imagine we have a problem with that, right?
I can't.
Yeah. So I'm copy of their insurance, and we're okay.
Okay. No, we just didn't want to do something.
Like thank you. Anything else? If not, audit and approve monthly vouchers for payment. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Do we have a second? Do we have any questions, comments? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All against? Motion carried.
Give me a list of things to incorporate into the contract.
Yeah.
So, just then.
Think about that.
What's the conflict, Carrie? What's the conflict?
Okay. Okay.
And when they put the sign back, it was difficult. So instead of doing that, they put it back in the garden of a house that's around the curb. So you're already in the ditch before you see the 30 miles per hour. I called Michelle at the Department of Public Works in the county last month or 2 months ago, and she said she'd take care of it. I called her back. She said, yes, she did alert.
Okay.
And it's still there.
So what you want to do, we got to get that to Lisa. I'll give that to the committee. That's just a placement issue. They just got to pull it out and replace it.
You just got to put it before you come around the curtain.
Who you really need to send that to is you need to send that to Sue McIntyre, the commissioner of DPW, boss. And as per my conversation with Patrick Davis, I am forwarding this to you. This was relocated to the wrong spot. It really is a safety issue. Really, it could be relocated on the spot. Sue will address that one.
Sue McIntyre.
She is the commissioner. And she's the commissioner. And if you send it to her, ask for my conversation with Patrick Davis, she's going to bring that up to me committee. Now it's head committee today. But she will bring this up. She'll probably have it done before the next committee.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
It's like a curvy line.
I'm sorry.
That is a curvy line.
Slightly more curvy line now.
Yeah, straighten that. Look at that.
There you go.
It's like an R.
Ah, that's great.
For me to write. I can't stand it. Come on, Julia. You're holding us up.
Yeah, no. Make sure you all did it.
And I'm home going to the bathroom now.
No, kids.
We went through that whole thing of pee and ready to go. Think of us. I don't know. And I didn't have dinner.
My leg was tapping.
Holy crap.
I don't know.
Oops, sorry.
They're doing the septic in Shandaken? I don't think they were.
No, that's Phoenicia. They're not.
It's the town,
what's
the
he talking
town
about?
Of Shandaken.
He was saying town of Shandaken.
Remember Kevin said that they were doing that vote in like March?
Yeah.
It's a small system.
It has to be for 400 only.
Yeah, Steve sent me that article.
For 400,000?
Yeah.
I was tuning them out at that point.
Maybe like...
I tuned them out when we started.
5 houses.
And they're not tying it into the septic plant?
No, I don't know. They do have... He's right. The cats did say something about an exemption for his kind of properties.
But they're not tying it into the Pine Hill treatment plant?
I don't know.
Where is it?
And just keep up.
All right, good luck, Chris.
Bye.
Do you want us to sign for it? You know, back in the olden times, only one person had to sign.
Yeah, it is.
I can fix that if you want.
No, you can't.
Yeah. Yes, I can. I know how all the other towns. Oh yeah, most of the other towns don't do this.
Oh yeah, they do.
They
I
do
ask
a
the town
summary.
Clerk, and they do it. They all
they
have
sign
to sign
everyone.
Yep. Because they got written up from the state controller's
they
office.
They did get written
yes,
up for
they
it,
did.
Huh?
Because I asked at my last town clerks association meeting,
hey.
And they said they got written up.
Because
But one supervisor refuses to do it.
I know which one that is.
And what does he do?
It's Eisel, right?
Assuming it's Eisel.
I don't know if it was Eisel. I don't remember who it was, but they said he refuses to do it, but they did get written up for it.
He does a summary.
Huh.
In the state controller's office.
Oh, so Jim's office. Yeah, got it.
If you guys want to get written up, go ahead. I'll just make sure I'm
not... No, Patty, we don't want to get written up.
No, we don't want to do it. Make you mad. That's what we don't want to do.
We are not going to get written up.
You want to get in trouble?
Trouble.
I had a town clerk for a department of her doll. I got in trouble.
For writing herself $4,000 of checks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that. Boy, it was in a big old email.
There was another one... someone stole like $35,000.
I know.
Yeah, actually, I was surprised at how low the amount was that they really dinged her for.
Jesus, I told...
Stupid.
I know, right? I mean, you know you're going to get caught.
I feel like people sometimes, you know, get desperate.
Well,
early.
Russell had said one time the village clerk in Delhi had taken... What he used to take was, like, the dog licenses. But how do you do that? Because if you do that, if you have a program like mine, you wouldn't get the renewal and you wouldn't without paying in.
I mean,
you're talking like $2, you know, $5. I mean, you have to steal a lot.
That's what the postmaster in Arkville is doing.
Yeah, there's something. I think often people maybe forget that they're really doing something illegal.
You know how, you know Stacey Skelly, right?
Yeah.
Now she's like very, like, by the book. And so she was at that duck auction that Margaretville did. She spent like quite a bit of money on ducks. I said, if you start embezzling from the village, I said, you could buy all the ducks you want. Whoa, Jesus Christ.
How many, what was the highest price duck?
One went for $400.
Really?
No
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah.
Good job.
The woman bid. She bid $360, and then when she bid over the phone, and
she right? was out in L.A. bidding
no,
or something.
That's
right?
amazing.
And then when she's told it, was told that she got it, she says, "Let's round it up to $400." Apparently, her name is Ducker.
And Ducker.
She has like a whole room.
So she literally goes around the country.
She has like a whole room like full of duck stuff. More stuff you learn. Yeah, no, I can't make this stuff up.
You know,
come on.
Like that's a great fundraiser. I'm glad you did it.
Yeah?
How goofy.
Yeah, they have some good bits. I think Stacy might have gotten one for $200. She must have.
Who knew ducks would be so?
Yeah, there were. I don't like a lot of them. I like the few. I like the more plain ones.
Okay. Not a lot of sign.
I got a fish last year. That's $150.
Yeah.
Jesus.
No, I would sign up.
I just want to make sure.
You know,
I didn't bid on the dog.
Hearing about parking in Marketville the same night. We had a meeting last week. I think there's a public hearing about public parking. Street parking in Marketville, like the Hawkinsville parking.
Mm-hmm.
Sports Street.
Yeah,
because that's a big thing. Yeah, down there.
Did you go?
No, but I know that's been a big thing for years.
Right, because you were on the board.
Yep, so it was mainly Iris. It was always wanting to change.
Is this the same thing? Nobody parks in their driveway?
Yeah, my street, that's what we do.
What?
Sometimes we should park in our driveways and then we get laughed.
Did you get to all these, though?
I didn't get to them yet. I don't know, did I?
No, I think you did get to them.
Did I
get
them? Oh, I did them. Okay, I did.
Yeah,
so this is the only one I didn't get was 40?
Okay.
Where does 40 go? At the bottom of that one?
They got out of because Brian.
They got out of Brian. So
I'll blame Brian for that.
Oh!
Yeah, I did all this. Good.
Yeah,
so... No, this is not about that. Oh, yeah, no, shut
right,
it off. Okay.
I need a adjournment.
Oh, motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Motion carried.